But I want to get the scripture in because I feel the preacher here today. And I'm going to preach, but the preacher is the Holy Spirit. And if he doesn't preach through me, then it's going to be a very boring service for all of us. I'm going to be nervous and hunting for where to go next and trying to find out where he is and why he isn't flowing in this place. Amen. But once that river starts flowing, and I got to be careful, I'm about to read the scripture, and I may not get to read it if I keep going, because God has something to say to every one of us here today. I don't know what you're facing. I know what I'm facing. I don't know what I may face. I know what I have faced. And I don't know what I may face in the future. But I know I won't face it alone. And that's the promise that I'm hanging on to. That whatever I face, whatever circumstance I find myself in, the Apostle Paul put, see, I got to read this in just a minute, but the flow is coming here today. The Apostle Paul said, in whatever state I'm in. Now, we're in the state of Florida. But it doesn't matter if you were in Pennsylvania this morning, or Rhode Island, or California, or Hawaii. That's nothing to do with it. But no matter where you are, there you are. And whatever problem you have here, you may think if I just move and get me 5 acres in North Georgia, put a fence around it and no trespassing sign, throw my cell phone in the creek that runs behind the house, amen, get me a pair of bib overalls so... And sit on the porch and sip my coffee. Everything will be just wonderful from here on out till he comes for me. No, it won't. The devil lives up in Georgia just like he lives down here in Florida. He's everywhere. Amen. And he'll fight us tooth and toenail till it's over. He's relentless. He will never give up. He will come through circumstances. He will come through people in your life. And when people are used by the devil, be careful to recognize it's not them, it's him that is motivating them. And take that battle that normally would be with them, take it into the spiritual realm and make it a battle with him. For we argue not with flesh and blood, and yet he uses flesh and blood against us. But our real argument is not with the person we're arguing with. Amen. It's with him, the devil. Amen. And he wants to keep that heavenly battle an earthly battle, to wear you down, wear you thin, if possible, to wear you out and get you to give in and give up on any kind or semblance of victory in your life. Amen. But the weapons of our warfare, amen, are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's victory, and that's where we get the victory and keep the victory. Well, I'm going to read this scripture today, because we're going back to something I didn't finish, and I never will finish anything, by the way. You say, Brother Bill, you preach this long, you don't finish? No, I do not. Because I'm bringing it from the Word of the Lord. And there's always more in here. Amen. Psalm 20, to the chief musician. Amen. Listen carefully, brother. Yes. All right. A psalm of David. I love this. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. That tells me something. You need to pray in the day of trouble. He can't answer you if you don't pray. And the Bible said we ought to pray and faint not. Can you say amen? The devil wants you to get so low in your faith that... what's the use of praying? He'll tell you that because you are depressed are in a dark place in your life where you're wore thin and threatening to be wore out, there's no point in praying, because if you had faith, you wouldn't be in that condition. He's a liar and the father of it. Timothy was depressed when Paul wrote and told him that he had faith. He thought his faith had failed. He said, no, your faith has not failed. Amen. You're depressed. You're not using the faith that you have. God did not give us, he told him, a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And then he told him something else. I know you have faith. And he thought, my faith has failed. My faith is gone. He said, but I know you have faith. How does he know it? Because he's obviously depressed and discouraged. So where is that faith? He said, I know it's in there. Because it was in your mother and your grandmother, Lois and Eunice.
Amen.
For from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
Hearing by the word of God. And he heard it. That means there was faith to be saved. Faith to trust God. Faith to believe even when he didn't see or feel. Because when you walk by faith and you don't walk by sight. And that means all of your feelings and faculties. Amen. Not just your eyes. So let me finish reading this today. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Now that's not just the last day troubles of the world that we're in. Perilous times are here. The day of trouble is here. But it's what's happening in a tighter circle than just the broad world that we're living in. It's in our personal life, our personal struggles, and everyone has them. Make no mistake about it, there's no escaping. The trouble that comes from living in a faulty body, in a fallen world, with a formidable foe called the devil. No escaping it. Let me finish this real quick. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the Lord God of Jacob defend thee. May the name of the Lord God of Jacob defend thee.
Amen.
To know a name biblically is to know the characteristics of a person. They didn't pick names, whatever was trending at the time in the culture. They picked names that identified a characteristic of the person. And to know God's name is to know the characteristics of his person.
Amen.
And if you put faith in what he has revealed himself to mankind and to those who trust him, and particularly to his covenant children by, you will be able to trust him in a more deeper way. Because the very name of the Lord God of Jacob will be your defense against the enemy. It will constitute the true shield of faith. It's not just reading the Logos on the page. It's not just getting the Rhema from the Holy Spirit when you read it. It's coming to know the God who is being revealed unto you. And to know him will cause you to trust him. And look what happens when that happens. No, let's don't. Let's finish the singing. And let me finish this, because I got to stop and preach along the way. This is too good to just read it and say, okay, everybody's got it. Somebody is going to come out of a place that you are in today. Somebody online is going to come out of the place that you are in today. Amen. The devil knows it, and that's why he showed up this morning to try to drain me out. There's a scenario. It's not just a story. It's a historical fact in God's redemptive love for his people. They're always embattled. There was periods when there was peace in the land, but they were very short-lived pauses in the continual battles that they had to fight. God gave them every promise in the promised land, and people came to take what God had given them. Remember, there's a thief behind it all.
Right.
The thief came, number one, but to steal. To steal. To steal. The marauders that came up to take the blessings of the Lord from God's people, surrounding cities, wanting to come in and enslave them and take the blessings that God had granted them materially from them. They got so intense that in these battles they felt overwhelmed. Many times they felt completely overwhelmed. But they were not abandoned by God. They were just under the attack of the enemy. Amen. Sometimes the attack of the enemy will make you feel like God has withdrawn himself because you're emotionally distraught and you're spiritually depressed. Amen. And that's when we need a clear word from the Lord. We need to understand what's happening when it happens. Now, there are those that say you can get into a place of faith where you will never get into that state. It hurts me when people say that, because we're not prepared for the battles that we're going to face and the circumstances we're going to be in. I do not see Superwoman here today. I do not see Superman here today. I don't even see Batman or Robin here today. I don't see what is the rest of them? Lord knows. Spider-Man. He's not here today. Amen. Wonder Woman. Let me check over here. That's your favorite? How did I know that? Spirit of discerning of spirits is here today. Wonder Woman is... that movie, Wonder Woman? That gal. Whoo, man. Mighty Woman. You're a mighty woman. Glory to God. Maybe Wonder Woman is in here today. Amen. Maybe Superman is sitting right back here today. I'm not him, but I feel the presence of a mighty, holy, helping, loving, caring, but all-powerful God is in this place today. Where two or more gather in his name, there am I, Jesus said. I'm not up in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. You know, the Bible said, I'm going to sit right here. And when once he was seated, tell my enemies become my footstool. But how is he going to stay seated up there and his enemies become a footstool down here? There must be some spiritual warriors that he's going to raise up down here. I said there must be some spiritual warriors that he's going to raise up down here. And their warfare is not going to be in the political arena. Now, I'm not. You need to vote. You need to get out. You need to let your voice be heard or never complain about the bunch of yahoos that are running the place. Amen? Amen. I said you need to either vote or quit complaining about the yahoos. I say that with the deepest... No, it isn't. There's no respect for yahoos. Amen? Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Amen. But you need to vote. But this is not a political problem. Amen. This is a spiritual issue. And the devil would love it to become completely political because we stay out of that spiritual arena of warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of all of the darkness of this fallen world. That's a formidable foe that we're up against. But we're not up against this foe by ourselves. Amen. When we enter into spiritual warfare, and the whole deal of Ephesians 6 talking about these spiritual realms and this spiritual battle, he said the first thing you need to do to be an effective spiritual warrior is to take on the whole armor of God. Amen. God's armor is every bit spiritual, but it's every bit real in our life. The Roman soldier got up in the morning. First thing he did was put on his belt, because everything hinged on that act first. That belt that you put on is called the belt of truth. And the Bible said, "Let gird up the loins of your mind with truth." Truth. The devil is a liar. You'll never defeat him until you're so convinced of the truth, grounded in the truth, have knowledge of the truth, and know that that truth is not just the logos on the page, but the person of truth. God is a God of truth, but Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Can you say amen? And if the devil can't deceive you, there's no way he's going to be able to harm you. And one of his deceptions is to get you not to pray when you don't feel like God is going to hear you, because your faith, if it was enough for him to listen, then you wouldn't be in this condition. So your faith must have failed. That's what Timothy thought. Paul told him, "You've got faith." He needed to hear it. I'm going to tell you today, whether you're up or down, don't try to just put it on today if you're in a deep valley. Here's the scenario in the Scripture. To those of us that go through valleys, which everybody will sooner or later. Amen. You can't live in this world without tribulation. Christ promised it. It's a promise. We talked about promises. How about this one? In this world, you shall have tribulation. In this world. How many living in this old fallen world right now? Then you're going to tribulate. The Greek word, thelpsis. What does it mean? I'm glad you asked. It means anguish and pressure. Anguish and pressure. How do you deal with anguish and pressure when it comes? And the devil tells you, if you had faith, you wouldn't be in that condition. I went through nervous exhaustion. And the devil said, if you had faith, you wouldn't be in that condition. You preach faith, why don't you believe God and get out of that place you're in? I was believing God. I was still in that place. I was binding devils. I got authority over the devil. I was still in that place. I was standing on the Word. I'm still in that place. Now, when you do all of that and you're still in that place, you got to get to know the God of grace and mercy and the God who hears you from that deep, dark place when your faith is so small that you feel like prayer is useless and my faith is worthless. When you get in, "Oh, Brother Venable, but Sister so-and-so, you should read this book." No, I got a book right here that answers all of my... I don't need that book. I'm sorry. You read it again if you want to. How's that working for you since you bought that book and you got these 3 or 4 or 5, 8 principles of how to live above it all? Nobody lives above it all. If you're living above it all, you're not saved. You need to get saved. Because all those who live godly in Christ Jesus, without exception, shall suffer persecution. Oh, it's not just the world turning against you and ostracizing you from their presence. It's all trials and tests that the devil brings against you. It's all part of being persecuted for righteousness' sake. And everybody... Paul said, "I was in peril by this. I was in peril by that. I was in peril, 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 peril. Danger, danger, danger. Stoned and left for dead. Stoned and left for dead. Shipwrecked. In the water. Trying to keep from drowning for a day and a night." I'll tell you, if your ship goes down and you're in the ocean for a day and a night and you don't know if you're going to be rescued, you're in a hard place. You're going through tribulation. And why was he going through tribulation? Because of the much revelation that he received from God. The devil poured it on. In fact, he said there was an emissary from Satan sent specifically to buffet me, to cause me trouble, to bring everything he can down on me, to use people, circumstances. I'm shipwrecked. Remember when Jesus talked to the storm and the storm was still? When storms come, I just want him to talk. I don't want to be in the deep for a day and a night. Amen? Do you? No. But you got the life preserver. I don't want a life preserver. I don't want the ship to sink. There's sharks in the water. Alligators in the river. Crocodiles in the lake. And they're looking at my white legs and saying, I love that white meat right there. Amen. I don't want to be. Oh, you might get a book off the bookshelf that tells you how to live above all of this. I got news for you. This book tells you there's no above it. In this world, promise from Jesus, in this world you shall have tribulation. Thelpsis. Anguish and pressure is going to come. But he said, oh, here it is. And I don't want you to put this on, but listen carefully. But be of good cheer. Cheer up. Because why did he tell us to cheer up? Because it's going to get us down. That's why. And we're going to need cheering up. If it don't get you down, you don't need to cheer up. Oh, but I got a book that says, I'll never get down. Get rid of it. Lay it down, pick up the Bible, and learn how to get through it when you're down. Amen. Learn how to cheer up, not how to never get down. Amen. Because there's no such place. There's no such level of faith that you can control the conditions of life to where you never go through anything. And now, becoming a Christian doesn't mean you're going to live in a vacuum, in a bubble where nothing bad ever happens. Being a Christian means it's sure the devil is going to fight you tooth and toenail. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I, who have promised to never leave you, have overcome the world, the entire system that he runs and oversees and controls. I've overcome it. And he didn't do it for himself. He did it. He got the victory so he could give the victory to you and me. I've overcome, and I'm with you, and I'm for you, and I went before you to assure you that I can take you through in spite of the devil and the demons and the circumstances of life. But I want you to cheer up because of that truth and that fact. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 57 and 58, death is swallowed up in victory. Therefore, because Jesus has conquered the grave, conquered death, conquered the devil in our behalf.
Yeah,
1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I don't know what God's going to do with this ministry. We're smaller than we've ever been in the over 50-year history of the ministry. But I know he's not through yet. And I know he's investing in you, because I don't preach like, well, there's just a few people here, and they're so set in their way, they'll just be like they are till Jesus comes, and they'll all go to heaven, I hope, but they're holding on with what they got, and there's no point in investing anything into them that God may be able to use some of them to intercede, some of them to be spiritual warriors. They're all fighting their own battles. They're all tired, wore out, and wore thin. I'll just bring a little message and say, you know, he anoints my head with oil. Oh, I'm anointed. No, no, it's not that kind of anointing. He does anoint the head with oil of the sheep. And when you went to invited as a guest to someone's home, it was an honor if they took some an ointment that was sweet smelling and then they just anoint your head with it as you come in the door. I've never had that happen to me. I had a guy downstairs that he loved to pray. Boy, he loved to pray. And he really loved to pray when he prayed over me that night. Because we were downstairs after the service, said, God led me to pray for you. And he had a big thing of oil that we kept on the pulpit. And he come, and if it was the Lord, I'd receive it. I want more of it. But he just poured the whole bottle of oil over my head, and it just ran down. That's okay if it's God. I want more of the anointing. But then he prayed a prayer that should be embroidered and put in a frame and sold in a Christian bookstore. Can you say amen? It was that perfect. But it didn't help me in the valley I was in, even with that oil dripping. I needed the Holy Spirit to do this. Man couldn't do it. Anointing oil couldn't do it. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't replace him. Hallelujah. Thank God he's more powerful than just putting oil on people. But when David said he anoints my head with oil, I'm anointed. No, he was a shepherd. And what he was talking about, when a sheep got a head wound, the flies would come, lay eggs in the wound. And if the wound wasn't ministered to and healed, maggots would actually get in that. Infection would set up in that and it wouldn't heal. Eventually it'll kill the sheep. And what the shepherd would do was take different kind of healing herbs, mix it with probably olive oil as a conveyor for it, and he would rub it into the wound, clean the wound, and rub it in. You know what anointing means? The word in the Greek, it means a rubbing in. Not a little, your big old son. Baby Huey, nobody knows that was a comic book. It was a duck that was so big and muscular. Nobody remembers. You remember Baby Huey?
Yeah. Baby Huey.
Okay. He doesn't either. Anyway, I only read those crazy books. But anyway, it's a rubbing in of the oil. It's not a little dabble, do you? It was a complete rubbing in. And believe me, I got the whole... They didn't have to rub it in. It just got in. It got on. And that's fine. I received it. But it didn't get me out of that place yet. I wish it had, because I'd have bought him some 30 weight, a whole quart, and said, just pour it on me if that would take care of it. But I was going through nervous exhaustion. I needed the anointing, but I didn't need just a big prayer. I needed the grace and mercy of a God who said, call on me in the day of trouble. Call on me in the day of trouble. I needed a prayer life that worked in the valley, not just one that worked on the mountaintop. It's easy to pray on the mountaintop. It's easy to pray for people on the mountaintop. Bring me back to this scenario in Scripture. God's people are always embattled, and an enemy comes up against them, and they call upon the Lord. And they were in the high ground. They had the high ground. They called upon the Lord. And God came through and gave them a great victory over the enemy. And the enemy says, their God is the God of the mountains. If we can lure them into the valley, this is in your Bible. You can find it. Just ask Jimmy. He'll look it up for you. 1-800 call Jimmy. Can you? But it's there, right? It's there, right? Am I right? Okay, we'll find it. We just don't have time this morning. Listen, the devil says, they actually said they lost victory, but it was, Israel had the high ground. So he's a God of the mountains. If we can lure them into the valley and attack them, their God of the mountains won't help them in the valley. That's what Satan is counting on. When you and I go through those deep valleys, that we will think, God won't help me through this. I got to be up there confessing the Word, standing on the Word, keeping the faith perfectly. And God says, no, you don't. Call on me in the day of trouble, whether you're on the mountain or whether in the deep, dark valley. Call on me. Don't fail to call on me. Don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on trusting God when your faith is so small. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, if we can lure them into the valley, we can defeat them. So, they lured them into the valley. They came out in a deep, dark place and Israel stood against them again. And God wrought the same victory in the valley that He did on the mountaintop. And now they're scratching their head. Their God is different. He's not just the God of the mountain peaks. He's the God of the valleys too. No matter where we face them, on the mountain or in the deep, dark valley, He shows up and He helps them defeat us. And if you don't discover the God of the valleys, I told you about that book, Mountain Moving Faith. Speak to your mountain. You've got it made. Just look at me. I'm driving a Bentley. What's that have to do with being in a deep, dark valley? Nothing. I'm going to live in a compound. I'm in a gated community. I performed a wedding in a gated community that you had to show ID to even get into it. And I saw houses that look. I said, heaven, if mansions were like these houses, it would be wonderful. Look at these houses. But they look kind of like fortresses. I mean, everything is, you can't get into the area. If you get into the area, you can't approach the house without lights coming on and cameras looking at you. And there's burglar-type doors and stuff. It's a fortress. Because these are people that are high up in the echelons of society. By the way, you're going to live in a gated community one of these days. There's 12 gates to the city. 4 on each side of the city square fair. 4 square. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to live in a gated community, brother. Amen. Got walls, too. Amen. Jasper. Foundations of jasper. And gold. And all kinds of, I can't even name those gems that they have. Streets of solid gold. But until then, we're stuck down here. And you may find yourself in a valley, and what God wants you to discover, that I am the God of the valley, just like I am on the greatest day of blessing and mountain. He's wanting us to pray in spite of how we feel or the circumstance we find ourselves in. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. How many want to glorify God by having Him come through for you in the day of your trouble? I need that because I want to bring glory to Him. And being defeated in that valley because I failed to call upon Him. The only way I can be defeated is if I fail to call upon Him. Amen. You say, Brother Venable, but I've called upon Him before. Well, call upon Him again. Yeah. Well, He didn't come through before. Well, call upon Him anyway. Amen. If you're going to pray for Israel as a nation, like we're commanded to, it said, give Him no peace. Don't ever quit calling on Him. Amen. Call upon Him day and night. Amen. There's an unjust judge, Jesus said. He don't fear God or man. I make my decisions and I don't care what anybody thinks about it. I don't care. Nobody makes me do anything. But there's a widow woman who's lost her son and she wants justice. And every time they're holding court, she's in court. And when court is over, she's standing up before the judge and saying, I want justice for my son. And he doesn't fear God or man. But listen, she gave him no rest. She gave him no rest. He wasn't compassionate like our God. He wasn't concerned like our God. But even him, cold and hard, because she kept coming. He said, because she just kept coming. I said, okay, you get rid of you. Now, that's not how God deals with you. He says, come. I'm here. Come. Call on me. Call on me. Call on me. Call on me. This is about praying so that God can show you His faithfulness. The devil knows if you keep calling on God, something has got to give and it won't be God. If you keep it up, he wants to wear you down, convince you you don't have enough faith to believe, get you to quit praying. And the day you quit praying, that's the day that the enemy has lured you into a valley. And he's convinced that he's only the God of the mountaintops. He won't answer you in the valley. And there's some books that'll convince you that if you're not in that place of faith, God is not going to listen. That's a lie. He lifted me out of the miry clay. He delivered me from the horrible pit. Amen. I was in a place I couldn't get out of. But he lifted me out. He called upon the Lord. Call upon me. Listen to what this... Oh, yes. This, they got defeated. Amen. And they said, this God is different. He's not just the God of the mountains. He's the God of the valleys. For those people that are trying to build their faith to a mountaintop faith, where they just snap their finger, believe God, and don't have problems. The rest of us that go through valleys are left out. Left without hope and without help. There's a scripture the devil used against you. It's in the book of James. It says, but if any man lack wisdom, and it's concerning the trials and tests of life. We all lack it concerning trials and tests. It's not general wisdom. It's specific to the circumstance. It's, if any man lack wisdom, blessed is a man that endures temptation. That's not just to go out and order one of those fancy drinks at that restaurant. Said they got homemade vodka. I never heard of it in my life. In a frozen daiquiri. And I thought, I'd like to order one, just see what that thing looked like. And give it to Brother Taylor. I wouldn't order that thing, don't get me wrong. But they had it available. Oh, you were in a place where they serve liquor? You ever go to Publix? Did you ever go to Publix? They serve, there's a store right beside it and an aisle in it. Did you ever go to Busch Gardens? Oh, you're bad, bad sheep. No, we ought not hang out in bars and clubs. But you can't help but go get groceries and go to a restaurant. This God of the valleys is so important that you understand. Listen to scripture that the devil used against you if you let him. Blessed is a man, book of James. Blessed is a man that endures, not escapes, temptation. This temptation is not to drink, do something we know is sin. It's an umbrella under which all the persecutions and processes of the enemy against you. Temptation involves trials. Temptation involves test in particular. And this is addressing that. Blessed is the man that endures these tests, not escapes them. There's no escaping the test. They'll come to every believer. Particularly if God wants to teach you the sufficiency of His grace, He will allow these things to come. Amen. And after you've suffered for a while, if need be, He will establish, strengthen, and settle you. That means you'll set up like concrete in your faith. But you've got to go through some things. Amen. To have that kind. You can't just read Dr. So-and-so's book. You can't read Sister So-and-so's book. Because there's a life behind the camera and behind the scenes. Amen. That has to be lived in a faulty body, in a fallen world, with a formidable foe. Amen. Called the devil. Amen. And without the God of the valleys, because you can't stay out of the valley. You can't live in a manipulative type of faith that Jesus always calms the storm. You're never in the deep in that world for a day and a night, but Paul was. You're never hungry, destitute in that world. You're only full and getting more. You're never stoned. I don't mean that kind of stone. Give me a fish, but we've all, unfortunately, we've all been there. Amen. I have. I don't know. I say we all. I never touched that stuff. Well, good. That's good for you. Thank God you never did. But for us who did, thank God there's a way out of that mess. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I did touch the stuff, and that stuff touched me. And I don't like what it was doing to me and would have done to me. I've seen it kill people. I've seen it disrupt homes and families. I hate it with every fiber of my being. I wanted to order one just to step on it. Then have to pay for the glass they brought it in. I really didn't want to order it. Listen, he was stoned and left for dead. He fell among thieves. What? What? Why did God let thieves rob Paul? One great preacher of old got robbed of everything that he had. I think it was Moody. Got mugged. And he said, I thank the Lord. Though they took everything I had, I didn't have much. So there's no great loss when I was robbed. I heard a comedian say one time, he said, I was mugged last night by a guy who pulled a razor on me. A knife on me. So I could tell he wasn't a professional. It had butter on it. Paul got robbed. He fell among thieves. Oh, and here's one for you. Put you in the valley. He was among false brethren. False brethren. That's worse than losing something materially, because you lose something emotionally. You lose the trust in someone. If I understand your testimony, someone broke your heart, betrayed your trust, and Satan capitalized on that. That hurt and that pain and that bitterness. Because when it happens to you, it'll throw you into a valley. You need to know there's a God who's saying, the name of the Lord God of Jacob defend thee. And every name that you find of Him in Scripture is a revelation of His character and unchanging nature. And when you discover through His name, His character, you begin to trust Him even in the deepest, darkest valleys. For He is Jehovah Shammah. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's the Lord, our peace. Our peace doesn't come when there's no problems and no pressures. It comes when we put our trust on Him and put everything in His hands and leave it there. Hallelujah. He's Jehovah Rophi. He's the Lord, our physician. We're believing God for this kid back here. That's not a baby goat, by the way. This is a young lad. But we're believing for a creative miracle in His heart, because He is and He always will be a healer. Amen. Amen. I know the church don't practice it anymore. I know they said it stopped when the last apostle died. Get rid of that book. Amen. And pick up this book. He's the Lord God of Israel. He changes not. We change. He's faithful. We're fickle. He's faithful. Say it with me. We're fickle. He's faithful. And He's even faithful when we're fickle. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Peter was fickle, but God was faithful, because God is merciful. And God took him from fickleness to faithfulness. They might deny you, Peter said. But I'll never deny you. I wouldn't trust them either. They're so fickle. Amen. That's what Peter said. They might. I never did trust John. And Philip, forget about it. Amen? They're fickle, Jesus, but I'm faithful. And Jesus looked at him like, you crazy person. You crazy person. Before the cock crows in the morning, you will have denied me three times. And Peter blew it off. He just blew it off. Until Jesus was taken captive as a lamb, didn't defend himself. Peter felt abandoned and alone and felt like, now I might be a victim of what they're doing to Jesus. And he's warming himself by a fire on a cold night. And he says something, and someone says, oh, you're one of those followers of Jesus. Not because of his talking about the Lord or testifying, but because of his dialect, probably speaking in the Aramaic tongue instead of Hebrew or whatever. But they recognize you're one of his followers. And he said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. They said, but you are. I've seen you with him. No, I'm not. Number two. And then he swore with an oath. Now, this is not a four-letter word like you find out how sanctified you are when you stub your toe. Can you say? When you get to the place you can stub your toe and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's where we want to get to. May not be there yet. He didn't say a four-letter word. He swore an oath. He swore by the God of heaven that the Bible tells you don't do that. This is not a light thing to swear by the God of heaven. Amen. But he swore with an oath by the God of heaven, I never knew Jesus. Hello? That's pretty good rooster. Say, that's pretty good rooster. Amen. If he isn't the God of the valleys, we're all sunk. Every one of us are sunk. Can you say amen? But thank God this God of the mountains is also the God of the deep valleys. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thou in that valley, thy rod and thy staff comforts me. You're protecting me. You went before me. So cause me to not have any fear in the valley, right. The dark valley. What was in that dark valley? There's actually places in that world that they lived in those shepherds where the valley was so deep, the sun, unless it was directly overhead, did not shine into that valley. And in the darkness on either side, there was lurking, always lurking, the predators trying to get at the sheep, except for the shepherd whose rod and staff gave them comfort, because they know I'm going to be defended by my shepherd. I can't defend myself against that wolf. I'm no match for that bear. I can't handle that lion, but my shepherd can. And he's taking me through this valley of the what? The shadow of death. Death is looming. A destroyer is waiting. But I have a shepherd taking me through. And that's what Psalm 20 is all about. The name of the Lord God. What is the name? Jehovah Ra? Is it the Lord is my shepherd? Think about it. But you know what it does? It encapsulates all the redemptive names of God that he revealed himself by the way he acted toward his people. When they found peace in God, they said, he's Jehovah Shalom. When they found victory in Jesus, when they found a right standing, reconciled relationship, they said, he's Jehovah Sikinu. He's the Lord our righteousness. We can be right with God. We can get right with God. And he can be for us. And if he's for us, no one can be against us anymore. Every redemptive name of God. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible said, the Lord God of Jacob defend thee. If you know him by his names, because a name was given to reveal a characteristic of the person, is to know the invisible God and to know him intimately and to know him personally. And all of those redemptive names of God, and there are many of them, they all come together in one name in the New Testament. Jesus. For in him dwell all the fullness of God bodily. And therefore you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. And that means the devil's bunch. The devil and his cohorts. The devil and his armies. He's got somebody over him. I love what R.W. Shambach used to say. Amen. The devil comes against us like a roaring lion. But the Lord pulled his teeth at Calvary. But he also said the shame of it is that a toothless lion is gumming a lot of Christians to death. And it's all because we don't call on the Lord. In a trust that is born in us because we've come to know him enough, to trust him enough, to pray anyway. To pray anyway. Let me finish reading this and we'll close. If we close, it'll be a miracle. You say, I was at church today and there was a miracle. We're not done yet. Don't claim it yet. I want to read this whole thing sometime. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May he answer you in the day of trouble. God will never answer a prayer that is unprayed. I get a little disturbed. I believe in standing on the word and claiming promises. But God has chosen prayer as a way to release your faith in him. When you pray, Jesus said, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Don't just teach us to stand on the word alone. Don't just teach us to claim the promise alone. How many has ever seen, heard a sermon on claim? I preach it, claim the promise. The promise of God are yea and amen. That's absolutely true. But the promise is as only as good as the person's integrity and ability to perform it that made it. If you don't know that about the one who made it, you're not just claiming something written that God has to honor. You're believing a God, trusting in a God whom you've come to know enough to give that burden to him, to cast your burden on him. If you don't cast it on him, he can't take it. He won't take it. We got to get real. We got to get in the valley. We got to pray and believe because he said, call on me in the day of trouble. Call on me. And the devil's counting on you not calling on him. Because he knows if you do, he's got a problem. A problem. Because you've discovered that the God of the valley will give you a victory just as great as the God of the mountains. Because he's not just answering people on the mountaintop of great faith, but the people who are down in the deep, dark valley who still call upon him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear that because I'm in this place, that the devil now has the advantage and he can, probably will destroy me. No, he will not. Because there's someone leading you through. That's what in this world you'll have tribulation. You'll be in the valley of the shadow. Can you say amen? But be of good cheer. I am your shepherd king. I have overcome whatever he throws out. I've faced it. I've defeated it. And I did it for you. Hallelujah. And as long as you follow me, I'll take you through the valley of the shadow, and you don't have to fear the devil being able to come in and do his destructive work, because I am with you every step of the way. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When they saw that shepherd well armed, amen. The shepherd's staff, if a sheep fell down, couldn't get up, he put that around their neck and pull them up. Oh, have you ever been somewhere where only God could pull you out of that place? That horrible pit, the shepherd's staff, if a sheep fell in a pit or into the water, it's a crooked staff, and he put it around their neck and pull them out. That's a comfort. God pulls people out. I'm not supposed to be in. I'm supposed to stay out. Well, I'm sorry, you're in. So aren't you glad if you ever get in? I hope you never get in. You can read so-and-so's book and they'll tell you you never have to get in. They're wrong. Someday you're going to find yourself in a deep, dark valley, in a deep, dark place. But his rod and staff comforts us. And in that place, the devil wants to fill us with fear and with doubt. But thy rod and thy staff comfort me. They're thy rod. Say 48 inches. Hard wood. It was a club, man. It was to put knots on the heads of predators. And he could wield it. He knew how to do it. Amen. He could bonk your noggin. Amen. Put knots on your head if you threatened a sheep. And he would lay down his life for the sheep. He said, I won't abandon them when the wolf comes. There are pastors that'll bail out when you get in the valley. Amen. Because you're not on the mountaintop. You're not able to give all the money they need. And you're not speaking those words of faith every day in victory that I told you you need to speak. And the hireling will flee when the wolf comes. He won't get down there and fight with you. Amen. He won't tell you how to fight the good fight of faith. Real faith doesn't break down under pressure. Doesn't give up in the valley. A shepherd, since that was his weapon, he could throw it and hit a small predator and kill it just by throwing it. But he held it in his right hand, and a wolf could come charging. He would stand and beat it. A bear, he would stand and try to fight it. And you know he couldn't in his strength. But every shepherd that trusted God knew how to call on him when the bear... Listen, David was a shepherd. From a boy, they went to take care of man's business. He stayed home, took care of the sheep. But he said one day a lion came and tried to take one of those lambs or one of those sheep. And the Spirit of God came on him to defend them. Amen. And what happened when that happened? The Bible said he slayed the lion. This 16-year-old boy around about slayed the lion. A bear came roaring out to take a sheep. And because he was a shepherd under the anointing, I said under the anointing, he killed the bear. And nobody saw it but God, and nobody knew it but him and God. By the way, let me tell you something about your shepherd. You know what your shepherd said? Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. Hallelujah. He has anointed me. Praise God. He sent me here and anointed me to set the captive free. Whatever it took for him to go against the enemies that come against you, he's anointed to defeat them in our behalf. So cheer up. Now, all of you haven't obviously cheered up yet, so we got just a little more teaching to do. I wish it was that simple too. But I want you to get a hold of this. Call upon Him. Call upon Him when you don't feel like it. Call upon Him when you feel like your faith is small. And get to know Him through the revelation of Himself, through all of the names that people came to know Him by, because whatever He ever was, He is, and He always will be. He's the Lord God of Israel. He changes not. People are fickle, but God is faithful. Can you say amen? And the devil is a liar, but God is true. Hallelujah. That's what Psalm 20 is all about. I wish I could finish it. I don't have time. You've been so gracious. And you're stuck on top of that. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Can I add something to that? May you pray in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May He remember your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. You need to praise Him after you pray. I said you need to praise Him after you pray. Oh, Brother Venable, but the answer hadn't come. Oh, but the one who has the answer has come. He that shall come will come in His timing. So praise Him for the promise that He's going to do something about your situation. He may not do it when you want Him to, because I want Him to yesterday. Amen. I'm that impatient sometimes. But you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, called on Him, trusted in Him, and praised Him for the answer, you have need of patience, perseverance, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. That's not how fast He's going to come, but in His timing, when He does, nothing or no one will stop Him except you if you don't pray and trust Him. Amen. You're the only one that can stop Him. You say, got Bible for that? I'm glad you asked. You're making me preach longer. How often did they provoke Him in the wilderness? How often did they provoke Him, frustrate Him? Not just anger, but frustrating Him. He wanted to bring them in to the promised land. But yea, they turned back and limited. You wonder why the devil comes against you and me? Because the devil can't limit Him. Circumstances, there's nothing impossible to Him. Circumstances can't limit Him. But when we quit trusting Him, we limit Him. Because there is a law of faith that He says, I'm going to honor. I've established it. As your faith be, so be it unto you. Well, I believe I'm going to be defeated. I just got up this morning with that feeling. Well, then as your faith be, so be it unto you. Or I believe God's going to pull me through this in spite of how awful I feel. You may feel like you're toe up from the flow up. Can you say, you know what that's all about? Tore up from the floor up. Amen. But God is faithful. Discover the God of the valleys. I implore you this morning to discover the God of the valleys. That person on that mountaintop spouting off all those victory words don't have any more access to God than you do. In fact, you've got more of His attention than they do with their great faith. Their great faith on the mountaintop doesn't impress God a lot. But when faith is released in the deepest, darkest valley, He bends. Oh, hallelujah. David said He inclines His ear to me. You know what that means? He bends down to listen. Just a little talk with Jesus. Tell Him all about your troubles. He will hear your faintest cry. And He'll answer by and by. You feed a little prayer wheel turning. You know a little fire is burning. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Hallelujah. But if you don't talk to Jesus, He can't show you His faithfulness. But you will manifest your fickleness. And the only way I can be faithful is when I lean on Him and He's faithful to me. There's no other way for me to be faithful to Him. Glory to God. Well, there's much more in here. We'll have to get back in it. Can we put this on pause and come back to it? Thank you. There's a song I want to sing before we leave. How many want to meet the God of the valleys and know Him enough that if you find yourself in a valley, that you will have the courage, the confidence to call on Him anyway? Don't question why you're in it. And don't be afraid that you have been abandoned because you are in it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. And I see that You're carrying everything I need to get through. Amen. If I fall down, You can pick me up. If an enemy comes, You're going to fight him off. Amen. Thy rod and Thy staff is my comfort in this valley. The name, the Lord is my shepherd. The name of the Lord God of Israel defend you. The Lord is my shield. He is my buckler. He is my glory. He's a lifter of my head. Can you say amen? Did you get something out of this today? I got something out of it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father.